Message 10-2, I'll be with the shortwave and stand to listen to that. We're going to stand by for emergency or priority traffic before we continue this evening.
Charlie, WHOSQQ, I will be back here in about 10 to 15 minutes max. I'll check email and I'll get back to you at that time. Okay, I got a phone call I got to take.
Okay, Bob, understood. Good evening, everyone. This is N2NOV. The name is Charles from Staten Island in New York City. I'd like to welcome you all to the weekly shortwave and standard listeners net that's heard on the N2ROW link repeater system every Wednesday evening at 9 p.m. local time. The purpose of this net is to provide a general discussion forum for all of those who are interested in the different aspects of the radio monitoring hobby. So we cover all the frequencies that you can tune in from DC all the way up to light and everything else in between, except for amateur radio, because we can talk about that at any other time during the week. We talk about who's on these different frequencies, what equipment you need to use to tune in, what changes coming along. We have technological developments or legal developments that may change the landscape for the monitoring hobby, so we try to keep on top of those as well. Also, where you can find information, either in print format or on the internet, anything to make the hobby a little bit more enjoyable for you. As basic ground rules for this net, one, if you have not already done so, to pick which one of the dozen repeaters of this link repeater system are best for you to use, you should go to the website www.n2row.net. Find the repeater closest to where you are and use that repeater to ensure that you have a good signal. And because it is a linked repeater system, when you key up, please pause for a second or two before you start to talk. Otherwise, the beginning part of your transmission will get cut off. As you're checking in, we ask that you give your call sign, name, and location, plus indicate if you have any traffic for the net. And by traffic, we mean any comments or questions that you want to share with everyone else. If you don't have any traffic, and you're just checking in and listening, then as you're checking in, please say, no traffic. This way we know to go to the next person. Otherwise, we don't know, and then we'll call on you. If you're not able to get into the repeaters for whatever reason, technical difficulties, you're too far away, or you may not have your amateur radio license yet, you can still participate by sending an email to nygxa@yahoo.com. That's nygxa@yahoo.com. That's also email address used if you'd like to be put on our mailing list. As different news stories and articles come out, we forward it out to the list. This list is not shared with anybody else, and it's not used for frivolous things. So, let's stand by for check-ins. Please space it out so we can keep people from stepping on each other and get everybody checked in. This is N2NOV.
Okay,
Charlie,
Lima Whiskey, Gordon in Manhattan, no traffic.
Kilo Charlie 2, Bravo Tango Tango, name's Don, Bronx, New York, no traffic.
BYN, Fresh Meadows, Queens, Handle Z, traffic, 10-2 BYN.
Enter.
This is November 2, November Hotel Mike, Joe and Garfield, no traffic. Good evening.
is W2LIE with a question for the net.
Okay, so far we have WB2KTV, K2GLW, KT2BTT, N2BYN, N2NHM, and W2LIE. Anybody else?
N2RBF, Rod, Melwood Park, no traffic.
Is it? And 1MLZ, Bob in Milford, Connecticut. Good evening, no traffic right now.
Okay, we also have N1MLZ and N2RVM. And RVM, if you can stick around for a while, I think the question that LIE is going to bring up, or one of them, might be something you can answer. Okay, anybody else? Alright, let's start with the list as we have it. We'll pick up additionals later on. Again, if you're not able to get to the repeaters for whatever reason, please use nyxa@yahoo.com. So, first one up with traffic tonight is N2BYN. Over to you, sir, and welcome to the net, and introduce yourself. That's what I'll be.
Thank you, Ed. Fresh Shadows. Always listening. Got a good one for you. He's on, I think they're on right now. 152.78. Washington Radio, 10:50 a.m. Loud and clear, 152.78. Please explain that, Joe.
Yep, I've been hearing them for a couple of years now. I'm not sure exactly why they're on all the time here in New York. Somebody theorizes it's all the federal agencies that are up here wanting to chance on things. I just find it kind of interesting that they would pop themselves on a frequency as in the middle of a band that used to be known for the VHF mobile telephone channels and paging frequencies. Somebody mentioned running across it a few weeks ago, right before Leap Week, and thought it was for that. And I responded to that saying, no, it's been gone continuously for at least a year. If anybody's got a clue exactly why they're on, I'd certainly be glad to hear it.
And when I'm there, what station is that, Charlie? Getting them loud and clear up here, too.
And the base out of Washington, D.C., I think 1050 was the frequency. And, you know, it's not so much who they are per se. It's a typical, you know, it's a radio station that is D.C., but why is it on here in New York and it's on continuously? And I'm wondering if this is being done anywhere else in the country.
Charlie.
Yeah, go ahead.
For the answer, but I don't. I'd like to have you give me a quick summary, the reason for SOD frequencies at 700. What are they there for? What do they do?
Okay, SOD is, what, 700 megahertz? N2BYM, and can you clarify a little bit? You mentioned that SOD was at 700 megahertz.
470.
Okay, which 700 megahertz frequency do you hear them on?
I've got a list of 10 or 15 of them. It looks like they're doing regular police work, but they're not. Hi. I thought somebody, now what is their real function?
Okay. To which frequency exactly do you hear the NYPD SOD on?
Just the 10 of them. The main one is 8652, 478652. Got about 10 of them.
Oh, okay. So you said 700. All right, the NYPD Citywide Channel, SOD is Special Operations Division, and that's more used for emergency services and hostage negotiations and things like that.
Support, but they really don't have anything. And I just wonder why they're there. But they're very interesting. They do a lot of stopping traffic. When cranes fall, they stop the traffic.
Yeah, well, it's for things that are outside of what the normal precinct or patrol borrow channel would use. Emergency service units tend to issue bases across the city. And think of them as a miniature army between having rescue equipment and assault equipment. They can do a lot of different things. That's why they're a specialized unit. And you'll hear that frequency could be quiet for a long period of time, and then all of a sudden you've got a bunch of different things happening. W2LIE and Columbia.
Hi, boy, I came up fast tonight. My question tonight is if anyone out there is using Trunker or Unitrunker to monitor any of the trunk systems out in the area. My plan of action is basically to try and get ahead of the curve of the rebanding. Being that Suffolk County's got a Motorola system, and once they reband, there will be no listening to them until GRE and Uniden pump the patch. So I'm kind of hoping to get something running here in the station that will allow me to listen or decode the trunk setup using one radio, and via a COM port control a second radio, probably my Radio Shack Pro 2052, and have Unitrunker or Trunker direct it where to go. So I was kind of wondering if anybody has some pointers or some idea of what program would or wouldn't work. And the number one question I have also is, do I need the resistor in line with the discriminated tab? And if so, what's the value of that resistor? Back to net, W2LIE.
Okay, well, first, let's see, N2RBM, are you still there?
WHOSQQ back.
N2RBM, you still around?
Thank you.
Okay. Bob, maybe you can cover this, the question about trunker. Have you done it, or is it just broad?
No, I have not done it. I've used the program, but I've never had to control anything. I've used it to get data, but as far as actually getting it to control or receiver, I tried one of the earlier versions, and I could never get it to quite work the way they say it should.
Okay, I know there's a bunch of links with information at www.trunker.info, and there's also a wiki page on Radio Reference that has information on it. This actually came out, what was it, Bob, 97, 98, when the first Trunkers were coming out? Or, no, it was right before that, it was before the BC-235 came out.
Yeah, the first versions of it, I believe, were DOS.
Yeah, they were. I remember that. Thing is, it's been so far out of the realm of thought once we had these chunky scanners that, I haven't even kept up on it. So when I saw Phil's question, I saw these web pages pop up. There are some links on the trunker.info page, Phil, which might help. They have links for different versions of it, different related projects, data slicer, discriminator tab.
Yeah, I've spent the good part of the last several nights going up and down Radio Reference, the .info website was you had. Been on there. I tried subscribing to the Yahoo group, but you need to verify yourself within the Trunk Info website, and I haven't gotten a response on that one either. But this has been something that I've been thinking of tackling before Radio Reference had the Radio Reference domain name, before when it used to be called trunktracker.com, I believe it was called. It's trunkradio.com. And I had a few schematics printed out of some data slicers. I started building a circuit which I can no longer identify. I know it is called a two-level that JPEG, basically, and it runs off the dual bicep op amp. But looking at some of the notes, some of the questions on Radio Reference, some of the links, I'm starting to find out you no longer need a data slicer. You can just plug right to the discriminator tab and run that into your sound card. You no longer need E-Trunker or M-Trunker or T4Win or whatever the program was. Everything's supposed to run right in Unitrunker, the Windows-based version, or Trunker. From my research, it looks like Unitrunker can control a second radio, but he's having problems with it, so they tell you to go with Trunker, which is a DOS version which runs in a Windows environment, basically. So you can see why I'm getting confused. Before I start putting the solder on into a bunch of these boards in a couple of radios here, I want to find out if I'm going down the right path here. But like I said before, a definite goal is to monitor Suffolk County once they reband W2LE.
I'm just curious, what radio do you have? I mean, if it's your current unit in radio, the rebanding, I'm sure the firmware is very, very close. It's not going to be that far away. Why don't you just wait for that and solve it that way?
To do that, but what we define a hobby, right? I'm also trying to keep that right feed going also while I'm at it. But yeah, you know, it's just not part of the hobby. I kind of want to stay on the cutting edge of it.
Yeah, I understand. I just didn't know if it was that you were trying to use, you know, something very old or whatever.
I don't know. I'm just looking. I did a Google search here, and there's quite a few pages that are on here. I would post something up on Radio Reference and see what kind of response you get.
I got one on there ready, and I didn't get much of a reply what I was looking for. So that's why I figured I'd bring it locally.
Now, the past couple of days, kind of spending some time with the FCC database, looking for any new frequency assignments between 851 and 854 megahertz. And I've drawn up a spreadsheet of every possible new frequency to start to make space apart. And so far, the only licenses that I see for New York and New Jersey are one, the New York State Police, Metro 21, which already switched. West Orange, which already switched. I see Port Authority has been given a new license for the new frequency. But just about everything else that's currently in the 866-869 band has not been given a new FCC license to move down yet.
Have you had a chance to check the 800 MHz Transition Administrator website?
Yeah, but that may be true that they have it planned, but the FCC has not issued the license for them to move yet, and they can't move until they have that.
I got you. I don't know if they're going to be... have the ability to be, use their existing license and be grandfathered down into another part of a frequency spectrum. Well, not vaccine out spectrum, but another frequency.
Definitely not. The frequency, the licenses that the FCC issued for those three so far show the new frequencies plus the old ones. So they definitely have to have a license in hand before they start moving.
Very interesting, because I was hearing things through people that Nassau County was just about ready to go, that they were loading up radios, and I also heard Suffolk was waiting on something, but I wasn't clear what it was, so I guess it is the license to move.
Yeah, and Nassau may be programming up radios, but they can't use them until they've got the go-ahead. They have to get the FCC license. And now, the license itself could be issued tomorrow. And then they're ready to go. But right now, they don't have it.
Okay, understood. And if NASA moves tomorrow, it's not a problem, because it's an EDAC system, and you just plug and play. So it's the Motorola system I'm kind of interested in right now.
Yeah. But if you notice also, West Orange and Metro 21 are both EDAC systems. Yeah, so they may be moving all the EDAC systems first before they start moving Motorola ones. Which it would give the scan unit manufacturers a chance to catch up to get that flash ROM code right itself. And it sounds like local receivers flaking out tonight.
Thanks for the info. We'll continue with the project and what you want to make out with that one. W2LI, connect.
Okay, Phil. Also, there is a page, there's a link off the trunker.info.
I'll try a different input. The link at the bottom of the page on the trunker.info page brings you to an 800 rebanding page, and on there is a listing of the different Bearcat and Radio Shack GRE scanners, and
and whether they are able to handle the rebanding for Motorola, EDAX, and LPR. Plus, there's also a page, also graphics on that page, showing different parts of the country that are supposed to be in the first wave, second, third, and fourth waves, and all sorts of other information, including frequency ranges. So if somebody wants to get a good, quick tutorial on it, the people at WPAScanner.com are the ones who put this page together on the 800 MHz rebanding, and they seem to have grabbed a lot of things from both the pages that are done by the transition people, as well as scanner manufacturers and the FCC. So it bundles all together very well.
The most interesting part about that chart is that we're in wave one, correct?
Yep, region number 8.
Because according to that chart, it looks like we should have been completed by the end of fourth quarter last year.
Yeah, you're right about that. One of the things I was reading is what they're trying to do is coordinate the whole corridor from Boston to D.C. to switch all at the same time. Now, of course, it's not an excuse for Nextel to be dragging their heels on this, but as we heard from the recent court cases about a month or two ago, when they were petitioning the court to allow them to flip again in the timetable, the court says, no, the deadline is June 28th, you better get it done by June 28th.
They're going to move everything in one night, correct? I mean, they can't reband and move Nextel, right? That's a big undertaking.
Well, Nextel systems have all sorts of other frequencies besides what's in the 850s and 860s. They also have frequencies in the 900 band. So, it's up to them to shut down part of their system and shift things around when they're mandated to do so, so they can provide the space necessary for the public service agencies to move. It's not, you know, incumbent upon the public service agencies to do something. It's incumbent upon Nextel to do it, even if they have to shut their entire system down for 24 hours. They have to make it work.
Believe me, my company would love to see that happen too. We get interference from them as well. All right, W2LE.
NYDXA@yahoo.com.
With a couple of questions.
Stand over to see with some questions. Anybody else?
Mitchell BGR, good evening. I didn't know if you copied me earlier, Charlie. I got covered with the ID. I'm gonna listen to you net, and I'm just gonna ask you what I have questions when you answer to that.
Before we go forward, let's see if there's anything that's coming to the email from earlier. W2SQQ, go ahead. Is there anything in the email and whatever you have to do, that's the problem.
Hi, Charlie. Nothing in the email and nothing really new here.
Like I mentioned, I installed 996 in the car with the remote head and
works okay. I like it.
I found out the audio on the 996 in the car just doesn't cut it. So I actually had one of these 10-watt, I call them bricks, you know, cheap stereo amplifiers. And I actually put that on the output of the 996 fitting a speaker. It's got plenty of audio on it now.
The only thing, if anybody is ever considering buying that remote head, is I mentioned in the past, it's a very poor design in that
when you turn the power off on the head, it does not power down the 996. I'm going to just drop. So, you know, at face value, not a big deal. You just have to put a separate switch if the radio is remotely mounted. The real problem, though, is that the quick start keys on the 996 where it allows you to, you know, pre-configure up to 10 different configurations where you hold the key down and turn the power on. You can't do that from the remote head, and I just can't believe that Unison would have not thought about that. So it is somewhat a manual operation if you can't, you know, physically get to the radio. But otherwise, it works okay. N2NOV, WA2SQQ.
Development. Now, this past week, I've been looking around to see if anybody's got 996 on eBay or on the for sale sections of different message boards. And I ran across one, which is kind of interesting. This guy out on the West Coast is selling his 996 and the remote head separately. He wants $500 for the radio and $200 for the remote head. Now, of course, we all know that you can buy a new 996 for anywhere between $499 and $5.50. And there's a coupon that just came out from Standardmaster in my email this afternoon that says take another $10 off. So I sent this guy a private message email, and I said, tell you what, I'll offer $400. So you're the next move. So he comes back and says, well, it's going to cost me so much for shipping and so much for PayPal charges. You know, I'll only take $470 for it. And here's a used item, and I'm offering him 80% of the retail price, which is more than generous for a used item. Why is it that people think that used items are gold? I mean, I have no unrealistic expectations whenever I sell something. So, can anybody explain this, Bob? What makes sense to you?
So, you know what it is? We all like to think that we baby the camera and it's Jerry and, you know, the whole bit. And you obviously want to recap as much of it as you can, but it's kind of like, if you look at it with a car salesman, you know, he wants to make as much profit
as he can, and the buyer wants to save as much as he can. So the negotiation process is trying to find a happy medium that both people are happy with.
Yeah, but to ask 100% of retail?
Sorry, your last comment again?
I said when he's asking 100% of a retail price for a used item.
Well, depending on how old the radio is, he could have been one of the first ones to buy it where he paid a premium price. $200 for the control head is ridiculous, because you can buy them new for less. I think, I'm trying to know what I paid for mine. Maybe $159 or $169, and then the price went up on them a little bit. I don't know. Unless you're going to put this in the car, Charlie, I just don't see where you need the remote head. It's okay, but, you know, for a mobile operation. But I wouldn't invest the money unless you had money that you just wanted to burn to use it in the house.
No, I wasn't going to get the remote head. You know, I was just interested in the radio. But, geez, 100% of a retail price. You know, even 80% is more than fair.
I agree with you. And, you know, what I would do is I would say, well, here's my offer. You know, I don't think anybody who knows the radio and who is a competitive shopper is not going to pay in that much money. So, you know, what I would say is, here's my offer. If you change your mind, get back to me. And if I haven't bought anything, you know, maybe we can do business. And that's it. And I suspect after a week or two, he's going to realize that he's going to get no takers.
I think, a quick comment, I think it's the environment in which the radio is being sold, because I've been looking at eBay, and I'm telling you, they're all going for $500, and buy it now prices of $550 and $560, and anyone that you at a lower price than about $500, you'll see that there's 30 people bidding on them. So even if the price is $400, by the time the auction's ready to close,
you will annoy the internet, Don, but we get most of that.
Yeah, I know these people, one, think their stuff is worth gold. And there are some people out there who are crazy enough to bid it up. But I did a price comparison on the websites of various retailers for scanners. Okay? HRO for $545. Universal for $539. AES for $519. Advanced Specialties for $517. Wentini for $529. Grove for $499. And ScannerMaster for $499. So, you know, I'm really scratching my head how they can try to charge these kind of prices for something that's used. And as you pointed out, there are people selling used stuff for that, for more than this.
One of the problems with eBay is, you know, when you go and put up a radio, when you go and put up a radio for sale on a mailing list, or maybe even on a place like QTH.net, you don't know how many people are chasing that radio. But on eBay you do. And because of that, I think that's one of the reasons the prices on anything can get so inflated. Sometimes you get great deals on eBay, but a lot of times you see ridiculous prices, and it's only because it's like trying to buy or rent an apartment in New York City. When you walk in that door to look at that apartment and you see 20 people waiting in the lobby behind you to do the same thing, you're going to pay more.
Well, that's only because there's a shortage.
There isn't really a shortage of these scanners. Especially with the economy the way it is and people buying a lot of stuff, I'm sure they're sitting on shelves. I don't know. It just made me scratch my head when I had this message come back to me. And it's like, this guy is nuts. But anyway, Don, you said you had some questions for that? That's what I'll be.
Yeah, a couple of quick questions, I hope. Well, actually, three. Maybe I'll wait till next week for some of this. You mentioned the Port Authority, and I was doing imports from radio reference to my 600, and I see that there's conventional Port Authority systems and trunking ones, and I'm wondering why. And also, is the Nextel New York system, is that their maintenance people? And I guess I think I'll leave the third question till next week. I've been looking on radio reference because I'm having a problem doing imports with DTEL software, and DTEL Gomer's answer is always that you have a firewall blocking inbound traffic on port 80. But that's a lot of crap, and there's a lot of people having the problem. And you said any error message you get in the 1200 range means you got a firewall blocking the port. But I don't have anything blocking the port. So, just curious. Those are my three questions.
Classic there, Don, where the software people say it's a hardware problem and the hardware people say it's a software problem. As far as Port Authority is concerned, they have both trunk and a couple of conventional channels in 800, like Teterboro Airport's an 800 conventional single channel. On UHF, they're all conventional channels, and we don't see them moving. What was interesting is when I looked at the Port Authority license that was issued recently for them, showing the new frequencies between 851 and 854, they actually had some new frequencies issued to them than those that are 15 megahertz lower than the ones they currently have. And, you know, as soon as I'm able to figure out exactly what I'm going to do with them, I'll post them up on the website, but it looks like there's like three or four of them being reserved for Newark Airport, three or four for JFK. There's two different licenses for the World Trade Center complex, so I'm just trying to get a handle on what's what, and you know, in the meantime, I've got my Bearcat 780 doing a search between 851 and 854, and just taking out notes of whatever I hear, including a really weird one which doesn't show up in any FCC licenses. I hope it's not an image, but every so often I get data bursts of 853.750. So, who knows? It's a big gap in my spreadsheet where that frequency pops up, so maybe there's some new things going on in there eventually. As far as the Nextel is concerned, I've never heard anything on those frequencies for the Nextel trunk system. Either they're very quiet, or they're being used for Nextel IDEN stuff, which you'll never hear, and it sounds like white noise periodically.
Yeah, okay, very good. Well, thank you, Charlie. That's a big help. What about the Port Authority police? That's what I was really interested in. And I put some of those, those things seem to be trunks. But I don't see anything that refers to the big Port Authority terminal here on 42nd Street. And boy, I thought there'd be something for them.
Yeah, Port Authority bus terminal?
Yeah,
it's on my website. It should be on radio reference, but if not, I'll have to go in there and add them. But yeah, I do know they have a few.
Alright, I'll check out your website and see what I notice. If I see anything of note, I'll drop you an email.
Alright, as far as I know, there's no trunk system talk group set aside for the bus terminal at 42nd and Hayes. But I do show some conventional channels. 470-5625 with a PL code of 141.3. 470.6125 with a PL code of 127.3. And 151.115 with a tone of 110.9. There's another frequency that's used there, but it's actually being used by New Jersey Transit, I believe it is. It's for the gate operations for buses coming and going. 452.325 with a tone of 162.2.
Yeah, some of those allocations crack me up. Throw them on the taxi cab frequencies. What the hell? Oh, well. Thanks, Charlie. That's really helpful. I will, I'll have to get busy dumping them in my scanner. I put some of the trunk stuff in there, but it seems very quiet. Unless it's not going in right or something. I don't know. Somebody told me I haven't played with it in my scanner, and I seem to have pretty good luck. On the Motorola system, you want to change the dwell time on the control channel to 1.5 seconds instead of zero in order for them to really work right. But I haven't done that. Well, thanks a lot. I don't want to keep the net. I appreciate the info. You're always extremely helpful.
Well done, it's just a combination of information that you either stumble across or the people who are listening or contribute on the net toss into the mix. Yeah, this is a group effort over the years. So we got to thank everybody else too. Okay, let's see. 949, Bob, anything new in the email?
KC2FH, Rolly Chicken.
Nothing, Charlie. Yeah, go ahead, pick up the checker. Okay, Bob. Alright, FYH recognized. Any traffic tonight, though?
Negative, just like to say, you know, good evening to everybody and you on the net. And I'll be listening, KC2FY, Portable, Queens, New York.
Okay. Anybody else with traffic or questions or whatever before we wrap it up tonight? Above the noise floor and the squelch, and we start to hear some changes on these public service agencies. And for those who have been wondering, where's your list of scanners you want to get rid of? Well, I've got a
radio just wrote up the paperwork before we started the net, so I'll send in a list of what I have. If anybody's interested, you know, I'll work on it offline. So 73, catch you all next week. And I'll be clear.